12-gauge Remington flechettes. The light was fading, the coppery ball of the sun vanishing over the dull mirror of Puget Sound. Not much time remained for them to find somewhere secure for the fast-approaching night. The friends traveled past a quiet row of suburban houses that showed the familiar ravages of 100 post-arc years. Years that had brimmed over with unbelievable extremes of weather. Winters of 100 below and summers of 120 above. A fine layer of gritty ash lay in the corners of some of the gardens, revealing that the region around the ville had lain beneath the falling detritus of a major eruption in the Cascade sometime in the past few years. They had seen no one else as they picked their way along the deserted streets, coming down off the ruins of an elevated section of a highway.
Best not to get too far in.
Always a sight easier getting out when you haven't gone too far in.
It was beginning to drizzle a little, misting over the lenses of JB's spectacles and making safe progress difficult for him, and dangerous. The silent avenue had once been lined with elegant trees, but they had long vanished, all chopped down to rotting stumps for fuel by the ragged and starving during the bleak horrors of the long winters. The three men spread out without a word being said, adopting the usual skirmish line, Trader ahead on the left side of the footpath, with Ryan just a little behind him on the opposite flank of the road. JB was last on the left, about 50 yards farther back, keeping in the deeper pools of shadow, guarding their rear. Ryan wasn't surprised to find most of the buildings in pretty good shape. Most had lost windows, some of them roofs, and a few had collapsed altogether. But at least 10% seemed solid and secure. It had been something that had amazed Mildred, and to a lesser extent Doc, when they'd first appeared in the Deathlands. The fact that there were still tens of thousands of houses scattered all across the continent, untouched and unentered since the faster-than-sound missiles raged from the empty skies and civilization died.
How come refugees from the worst-affected areas didn't raid them and take them over?
Ryan had known the answer to Mildred's question. His father's father had been alive as the endless Cold War finally turned white hot. The deaths in the first 48 hours of the war that ended all wars were incalculable, probably in the hundreds of millions. The Ruskies had used neutron bombs and missiles, which cleansed away all life, but left everything standing. The idea behind the bombs had been that the winners could then march in and inherit a land instantly fit for heroes. It was a good plan, but with one overriding weakness. There were no heroes and no winners. Just cities turned to boneyards. There weren't enough refugees to be able to loot more than a fraction of the homes still standing across what was already the Deathlands. After the first 6 weeks, 98% of them had rad sickness. And this southeastern suburb of Seattle was no exception. Taking care to lift it with both hands when the fragile hinges gave way, Trader laid down the gate in the coarse grass of what had been the front lawn. Only the posts remained of the original chain-link fence that would have demarked each neighbor's neat territory. Trader waited on the porch, his eyes scanning the deserted street, covering Ryan and then JB as they came along to join him. Trader pointed to Ryan with the armalite, gesturing for him to go around the back. Ryan's combat boots grated in the volcanic grit, but he had that indefinable feeling of safety. No prickling at his nape, no dark shapes that skulked into the bushes ahead of him. But he still made sure and kept his index finger snugly on the trigger of his gun. The house the trader had selected seemed to be totally untouched, either by man or nature. There was even a cord of firewood cut and stacked under the tattered remains of a canvas cover along the side passage. A dog kennel with a pile of dark bones was visible inside. Ryan came to the back door and waited. The dark wall of clouds that had lowered earlier across the hills had been blown away by a fresh breeze from the deep bosom of the ocean, revealing a chunk of silver moon, bright enough to give a good light. Enough light for him to read the painted iron sign, "Wipe your feet or Mom wipes you." The breeze stirred the branches of a huge eucalyptus, making Ryan spin. The topped remnants of a pergola lay near the bay hedge to the right of the house. He stretched out his fingers and touched the damp handle of what would have been the inner door if the outer screen door hadn't been gone for decades. Ryan took a slow breath, held it, and released, then did it again. He put his weight against the handle and felt it turn. slowly and reluctantly. He tasted a smell that was as familiar to him as his own sweat, a smell that he'd encountered in every corner and crevice of the Deathlands. Ryan entered the kitchen and hesitated, getting his bearings, wondering just where in the abandoned house he was going to find the corpses.
Ryan?
Nobody, traitor. Nobody living.
A supply of candles filled one of the drawers in the kitchen. Most of them were plain household candles, with a scattering of scented ones, cherry, melon, blueberry, and cinnamon. Ryan pressed them to his face, trying to catch the elusive flavor of pre-dark days. Most of the curtains had rotted, but JB went around and closed the shutters that overlooked the street, keeping them safe from chance passersby. Candles were set up on shelves and tables, and they filled the first floor with their golden, flickering light. Their burning seemed to swallow up a part of the other smell that Ryan had noticed as soon as he'd entered the kitchen, the smell that both JB and Trader had also noticed as soon as they were in the front hall. It was likely that nobody had entered the deserted house for nearly 100 years. All of its doors and double-glazed windows remained closed tight. The scent of decay had gradually infiltrated every inch of the old building, so that even the walls seemed to be contaminated by it. Ryan caught the unspoken question in Trader's eyes.
Not down here.
But eventually, they found 5. JB found the first of them, in a small room to the right at the top of the dusty stairs. It had obviously been the bedroom of a little child. The wallpaper portrayed a superhero that none of them recognized. The design echoed on the comforter that covered the bed.
Little girl.
That was about all they could guess, basing it on the long blonde hair that was spread out like a tracery shell across the smudged pillow. The next room along the corridor had been for the 2 sons of the family. From the height and the approximate build of the mummified corpses, one had been around 10 or 11, the other probably in his early teens.
No wounds. Fire blast. This kind of thing always brings me down.
We'll find their parents in the big bedroom at the back of the house, I'll bet.
Trader was right. Even after the passage of so many empty years, it was still easy to reconstruct the last hours. The father lay on his back on one side of the double bed, wearing stained pajamas. It looked like his wife had been overtaken by some sort of pain or distress close to the end, and had tried to make it over to the neat bathroom across the corridor. She lay doubled up on the carpet, her nightdress rucked around her waist, her knees drawn to her chin, one hand reaching out toward her husband on the bed.
Went wrong at the last.
Trader stooped to pull the fragile material of her nightdress over the dark bones of the thighs.
Sleepers.
JB picked up one of the 2 empty pill bottles on the trim cabinet at the side of the bed, along with a wristwatch and a pair of glasses. And the note. Trader peered at the 2 sheets of paper as he sat in the living room.
There's nearly always a note, isn't there?
Like they know that there won't be anyone along to read it, but they still feel a need to communicate why they did what they did.
Ryan put another log on the fire, and he reached out to Trader.
Mind if I read it?
Of course not. Writing's faded, and it just gets worse. Read it out loud to us.
Ryan sat down on the sofa.
Well, it starts off, to anyone passing by. Guess that's us. My name is James Williamson. My wife's name is Henrietta. Our boys are Stuart and Jim Jr. Our daughter is... that's crossed out. Was Darlene. Lived here in Seattle most all our lives.
The logs in the fire burned fast, filling the cold dead house with warmth and brightness.
We were lucky. Or were we? Went camping when the missiles came in January up in the Cascades. Kids didn't want to come. Maybe the way things have panned out, they were right. Roads blocked with stalled cars. No gas. Fires everywhere. And the sky just smoke from sea to shining sea. Darkness at the edge of noon, like someone once said. All the time, dark. But we made it home after about 10 days. Darlene was ill by then. Asthma from the smoke and fumes. All of us felt sick and coughing all the time. Mustn't go off on a tangent. Gave the children their pills an hour ago,